Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Guiding people home is our mission statement, and our heart is to reach the Redlands for Christ. This is our community. We want people to know Jesus, okay? And as a church, we want to guide people home. We're in the business of saving lives. We talked about that in the first week. Our first value, does anyone remember our first value? Yes, there, over there, yes? So we worship in spirit and truth. That was our first one, that we want to be a church that's not only seeking after the spiritual, but we want to know the Word of God. It needs to be the anchor to the Word of God. If God is going to do the miraculous in this place, we want to know that the Word of God is really anchoring it. The spirit and truth, our whole lives worshiping God. And then our second one was last week. What did we talk about last week? Prayer. Okay, how do we pray? Faith-filled expectation. When we pray, we just know that God hears our prayer. We are just strongly, we go, God, I know you hear me, you're going to answer me, and we hold on to that truth. We are stepping out in faith when we pray. And today, we're going to enter into our third one, which seems such a simple statement, but is so loaded that you might all just be like, oh, how are we going to do that? Our third value is Beacon Church. People who come to this church, if you call this home, and you want to be in line with the values and the mission of this church, we love always. We love always. Some of you just went blank face and went, I'm out. I'll love sometimes, but not always, right? It almost sounds like tree-hugging hippie stuff, you know? Like, we just love the man always, right? And maybe that's because I used to have dreadlocks and it's coming out the years on. But we love always. We want to be known as people that love people, right? If there's one thing I would love to know as your pastor, if I met someone in the community that met someone from Beacon, their first statement was, man, they just love people. Like, I could just tell that they just love people. They genuinely love people and the way that they dealt with everything that they were going through or whatever. But how do we love people? How do we actually do that? Because love these days is a very broad statement. Just love people, man. But what we're actually talking about is like the lover of the Father, God the Father. We know that Jesus, everything he did, he was just a reflection of God the Father. He never did anything on his own. He was always reflecting the Father's heart here on earth. And I think sometimes we think that love is just accepting everything and walking through every day and just like, if you're happy, I'm happy, that's love. But you got to understand that love isn't that at all. If you're a parent, you know when you love your kids, sometimes you got to love them hard. You know what I'm saying? You got to love them hard. In my house, we had Mr. Spoon. That's not allowed anymore. But like, you know, I remember my dad, I'd get in trouble. He'd go, Aaron, I'm doing this because I love you. Whack, you know? And I'd be like, oh, Dad, come on, you know? Fortunately, it wasn't actually that hard to hit. But I mean, back in the day, that was sort of the love. But truthfully, there is a discipline that comes with love. Why do parents discipline their kids? Because they want the best from their kids. They want to raise kids that can be the best versions of themselves. And God is the same with us. He wants to guide us to the truth. He wants to guide us to eternal life. And sometimes he does discipline us. In fact, the early church, they kind of had a bit of complaint about how hard it was sometimes. And the writer in Hebrews 12:3-6, he kind of confronts the early church. And he's like saying, don't lose heart. He says this, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Talking about Jesus. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. At Beacon Church, you know, one of our values, we love always. And the way we love is the way that God the Father loves. We love you as you are, but we also want to be in a place where we bring the truth that we're all sinners. You and I are sinners. We're broken. We're a mess without Jesus. We need a Savior. We cannot be the Savior of our own life. We need God. We need to understand that Jesus died on our behalf. We deserve that death penalty on the cross, which we'll look at Easter. We should have been on the cross. Jesus took our place. He died And he rose again, giving us a revelation that we too can have a new life in him. That is the truth. And at Beacon Church, we're going to love people in that truth and say, hey, you're a sinner, you're broken, but Jesus loves you and he wants to transform your life. He doesn't just want to bring you this idea of, I love you, stay the way you are. It's going to be, I'm going to tell you right now, I love you and you need to change and follow me. We love always. We love always. We don't want to leave people in their mess. One of my favorite quotes of all time comes from Pastor Ross Abraham, the INC head of the movement. He always said this for years. He's like, it's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to stay that way. You see, when you meet Jesus, he will transform your life. You're not going to be the same. You're not going to wallow in your pity. You're not going to stay in your sin. You're going to go, time to change, because Jesus wants to change you. The reality is, the way we see transformation in people's lives is through love. God himself is love. John 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever loves, my gosh, my words are not going out well today, are they? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Jesus was so passionate about how we're going to reach the world. He's like, you're going to reach people by loving each other, okay? Before he went to the cross, he's with his disciples. He's like, before I go to the cross, boys, I'm going to leave you a new commandment, and this is how you need to live so others around you really know you're the real deal, that you genuinely follow me. It says this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Wouldn't that be beautiful in the Redlands? They meet another person, a member of this church, and they go, man, you just love people. You just shine. You're just so different. And they go, it's because I love Jesus. They go, where do you go to church? Beacon, another one of those Beaconites. Yeah. Just going to claim it, Beaconites. Another one of those people from Beacon. Every time I meet new people, they just love people. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing to be known by? Like, I would love that as your pastor, to be able to hear those testimonies everywhere. Another Beaconite, another person that loves people. Of course you do. Of course you did that. Of course you love that person that way. That's what we want to be. People that love. We want to demonstrate Christ's love like he demonstrated his love for us. I love when you read the Bible and you find out the characteristics of Jesus. Jesus doesn't approach love in like a one-size-fits-all kind of, this is how you love people, okay? You need to say it this way, do it this way. Jesus approaches every person he comes into contact with differently. Think about it. Sometimes he's loving people by, he sees someone who's sick, he has compassion on them and heals them. Shows love. Other times he's walking through a town and he's on his way one place and he sees a short man in a tree. I relate. Couldn't climb the tree though. The point is, points him out and says, I'm going to come to your house and have dinner. Everyone's going, that guy's a sinner. He says, I don't care. I'm going to show him love. For other people, Jesus' way of showing love is actually to bring about correction in their life. The rich young ruler, he knows that money is his God and he calls it out. He says, you want to follow me? Sell everything, give it to the poor. He's not saying to the rich young ruler, hey, I don't want you to be happy. I don't want you to have money. He's just going, I'm going to call this out because it's going to control you and you're never going to see the freedom I have for your life. I love you. And that's killing you. It's amazing how Jesus approaches every person he comes into contact with this amazing wisdom and discernment. He sees the person for who they are and he calls out in love. And we want to be that too as a church. You know, as Beacon leaders of this church, I mean, I tell you what, every day you get different people coming through the doors. They've got different circumstances, different situations. And if we try to do one size fits all, it wouldn't work. But we go, we want to just be like Jesus. And I think if you could daily go into your day, into your week, into your month, into your workplace, into your home, and every morning wake up and go, Jesus, help me love like you love, man, will you shine. Because the Holy Spirit will give you amazing wisdom and insight into how to love people. The reality is love is incredibly important, and without love, we're useless in our community. We can be the most spiritual and religious and righteous and well-knowing scripture-reading people, but if you don't love people, it's all a waste of time. 1 Corinthians 13 says it like this, if you speak in tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, You sound like a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You're just an annoying noise. If you have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, if you've got faith that can move mountains, but have love, without love, you've got nothing. I mean, seriously, think about that. I mean, if you can literally tell someone their future, walk up and say, this is going to happen to you, and you know, and God has given you insight and all this other stuff, but that person doesn't feel loved, God's just saying, you've missed it. It's a waste of time. If you give all your possessions to the poor and surrender your body to the flames, but have not love, it says, I gain nothing by doing that. In other words, you could be the most charitable person on the face of the planet. You give to every charitable drive ever. You give up your time for the poor. You're out there serving, but you don't have love. God's like, how are you wasting your time? Truthfully, you might think, well, how can I possibly do that? Because if I'm serving the poor and I'm helping people, surely that is a loving thing to do. But I'm going to tell you, I've been in experiences with people who volunteer, who hate volunteering. Like, I used to look after teams up at the Gold Coast for years. I had this lady who stood on the door who'd welcome people. She never smiled. One day I came up to her and said, do you like doing this? She's like, not really. I said, I can tell. You're not really a great example of Jesus right now. And I said, maybe you should find a different area to serve behind the scenes. We're guilty of it though, hey? I'm doing it for God, you know? I remember serving up at Red Frogs. I had this team one year. It was the hardest team ever. I'd ever led this team. I had this girl on my team who'd given up a week of her time, paid for her accommodation to serve in Red Frogs. That sounds pretty loving. But every room we went to, she complained. She hated cleaning up after people. She hated what the teenagers were doing. She complained about everything. She had a sad face. She was angry all the time. And at one point, I had to take her aside and go, you have to love these guys. Like, what's the point of being a Red Frogger if you don't love them? She goes, I do love them. No, you don't. And in her heart of hearts, I do love them. And I remember having to go to a higher up and sit down and said, I've got this girl on my team. I'm going into every room and she's a sad sack. She doesn't bring any joy. And I'm like, why are you here? And he goes to me, brought me this great revelation. He said, as I bet she doesn't love herself, and I bet she's never had the revelation that God loves her. But she's a Christian. Yeah, but I bet you she has never really fully understood how much God loves her. So I sat her down for a coffee about 1 a.m. We had a break, and I said, hey, got a question. Do you like yourself? Like, I know it's a weird question, but do you like you? She goes, no. I hate a worm. I said, So do you actually believe that God loves you? She goes, not really. And here's this girl trying to serve God, but has never got a revelation of the love of God. And so it's so hard. Can I tell you, church, if you are trying to love people out of your own strength, summon up love, oh man, it's exhausting. It is so exhausting. But if you get the revelation that God actually loves you, this is why I think the weightiness of the 8 a.m. hit so hard. I think you, church, need to hear how much God loves you. Father God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, who holds the world in his hands, every circumstance in his hands, loves you. The way you are right now in your mess, he's like, I just love you so much. Come here, I want to give you a hug. No, get away from me, I don't want a hug. God's like, give me a hug. I want to embrace you. I want you to know how much you are loved. How much you're loved. You see, the love of God will transform you in an amazing way. It transformed my own life in a powerful way. Quite a few years ago. 1 John 4:16 to 19, it says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. You see, our love for the Redlands is a reflection of the love he poured out to us. If I told you, go and love your neighbor, you have to do it, we just become another religious sect knocking on doors. I have to tell you this. I have to gain God's love. He loves you already. And it's out of that love that we should openly and freely share his love every day. And I think the number one reason we don't love or share that love is out of fear. Fear. And guess what? Perfect love drives out what? All fear. The reality is you can't love people if you are fearful of people and fearful of what they might say and how they might respond. I loved hearing Bella's story this morning. And I actually love, Bella, that you were so vulnerable to admit. You were like, oh man, it was clunky. It was weird. I should know this stuff better. But anyway, you did it though. You love that man. And he's going to have a Bible forever. And every time he sees it, he's going to remember how someone gave up their time and energy and even something of great possession out of love. I'm going to share a couple of stories today about how God has impacted me to love others when it seems so ridiculous. And I've shared this a few weeks ago, maybe months ago. And the reason I'm sharing this again is because it's impacted me so much that I can never stop thinking about it. You know, when you have a moment in your life that just changes you, it just messes with your head. And I shared this, I was earlier this year, you go a few podcasts ago, you might even hear this story, but I was on a plane to Rockhampton after a very big week. And my goal on this plane was to have a sleep. It was a Sunday afternoon. So I'd just done a double preach. I'd spoken all week and I had to preach again and speak the next couple of days. And I was tired. I got on a plane. I sat down. I went to put my headphones on to ignore everyone. And a girl sat next to me. Now, when I looked up to see this girl shuffling beside me, I was shocked by the fact she had bright blue hands like Avatar, truthfully. These bright glowing hands. And that kind of threw me a bit. And then I looked up and there was this skittish kind of, you know, kind of really nervous young lady, maybe in her 30s. And she's just, you know, causing a whole bunch of kerfuffle as she sits down and she looks at me and she says, you know, we're all going to die, right? You remember this story? She's like, we're going down. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a plane and someone starts talking about this sort of stuff, but you kind of want security, right? You kind of... And what was so interesting on this day, she starts telling me how we're going to crash, we're going to die. And she's very vocal about how we're all going to die and the plane's going down. And the air hostess is listening to, she's hearing it. I'm like, shouldn't you kick this person off? Like, I don't think you can do this in this time of day and age. People are kind of looking over their seats going, oh gosh, you know, this woman's talking about everyone's going to die. And I remember saying to her, hey, I don't think we're going to die. I think we'll be fine. And she looked at me and she goes, what do you know that I don't? I said, I've been on a few planes, haven't crashed yet. And we got in this conversation. And it's interesting because, you see, I probably didn't think about it, but this week I just had this revelation. God was like, hey, as you have the Holy Spirit, that's why you're not fearful of talking to people. When you got perfect love in your heart, it drives out all fear of what that external looks like and all the crazy and the hectic. Because I think if I didn't have God's love and his peace that surpasses understanding, I would have been like the rest of the passengers freaking out about the lady in row 13. And I started chatting to this girl and just had this overwhelming sense of compassion for her. And I asked her a story. She ends up telling me she was on drugs for over 10 years, had a horrible upbringing, grew up with her parents. A grandparent, sorry, because her mum had it when she was 15. It was just a horrendous story. And then I got to a point where I said, what's with the blue hands? And she opened up and she said, oh, I've just been in Brisbane visiting my mum. She's got cancer, terminal cancer. And it's probably the last time I'll see her. And she said, hey, I want joyful hair before I die. Can you dye my hair blue? And she said, oh, I got so caught up in the moment, I forgot to put gloves on. And so now my hands are blue. And I said to this girl, Jess, I'm so sorry. She said, that's okay. And before we took off, actually, I said to her, hey, if you need to grab onto my hand when we take off, because she was so anxious, I said, feel free. Within about a split second, she grabbed on with both her hands, like claws into my arm. She was holding on, and we took off, and she released, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I said, anyway, Jess, I'm going to have a bit of a sleep. Is that okay? And she's like, that's okay. I had a sleep, and when I woke up, she was right there in my face, looking at me. I was waiting for me to wake up. And I went, hey, Jess, friend. And she goes, where are you going after this? And I said, oh, I'm staying in town. She goes, can I give you a lift? And everything in me was like, no. But then just the love of God, once again, like she wants to love back. And there's this sense of, allowing people back into your world that are unlovable and there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. And I said, you know what? I was going, you know, it's only about 4 or 5 minutes away from the airport, so it shouldn't be too bad. I said, yeah, okay, you can give me a lift. That's fine. And we're walking out of the airport and she goes, oh, sorry, sorry, but you won't be able to sit in the front left-hand seat. You have to sit in the back seat. And I'm thinking, that's fair. I'm a stranger. Like, you know, safety first. And she's like, and I said, no, that's fine. She goes, oh, it's because the other day I wasn't really concentrating and I crashed in the left-hand side of my car. I'm dying. And I'm like, Lord, help me. It's a hot day. I get out of the airport. It's really hot and rocky. It's like 40 degrees. We're walking into the car park and she goes, oh, and also I hope the car doesn't smell too bad. I said, why is that? She goes, oh, the last time I went to Brisbane, I left a can of cat food open in my car and it really stunk real bad. And so I'm like, oh, good. So we're walking towards this car. We get there. Sure enough, the front left-hand side is completely smashed in. And she opens the back door and I've never seen a rubbish tip like it, but the rubbish fell out of her car onto the ground and she gets in there and she's just pulling rubbish out, you know. And there was a bottle of milk, 2 liter bulk milk had split and it was just sitting in the door and I'm like going, oh my gosh. And there's a couple of baby seats there and she's like got this like old clothes and she's just trying to move it around to fit me in the seat, you know, crackers and from her kids. And I'm just like, uh-huh. And as she's there, she starts swearing at herself. She literally starts swearing at herself. Like, you're a beep in this, you're a that, you're a this. And just abusing herself. The talk over her own life was so toxic. And I go, Jess, what's going on? She goes, I've lost my beeping key. And as she got into the rubbish, she'd thrown her key into it. And she goes, now it's going to take me hours to find it. And I'm like, Lord, help her find the key. And then within about 30 seconds, she goes, oh, there it is on the top of this rubbish. You know, she's got a key and she's all happy. And I go, okay, cool. And I get in the car and I sit there. I wind down the window because the smell is just like nothing else. And we're driving. It's only 5 minutes. And we pull up at my accommodation and she asks me the question. She's like, why are you so nice to me? I said, sorry. She goes, no one's ever nice to me. She goes, I tell everyone the plane's going to blow up and no one talks to me after that. I'm like, I know why. Your approach is interesting. But she goes, why are you so nice to me? And you know, church, the reality is, as corny as it sounds, I just said, hey, Jess, God changed my life. He loves me. And I just want to love people like him. Jesus loves you, Jess. And as I said, this story has wrecked me ever since that day. Just the love of Jesus pouring out in a car. There was a complete mess. And this lady, she goes, she gets really teary. And she goes, can I give you a hug? And I said, of course. And she gets out of the car. I'm out and she just gives me this hug. And I'm going to tell you, that hug was so heartfelt. She just collapsed into my shoulder. There's snot and tears and blue hands. And everything in me is just like, this is so crazy, God. And I said, yeah, God loves you, Jess. Jesus loves you, Jess. And just for her to hear those words, you could tell they were just hitting her like, boof, like waves, just boof. Jesus loves you, Jess. And she says, I know. Gets in her car and she drives off. I may never see Jess ever again, but her story will impact me, I think, till I die. And I think the weight of the 8 a.m. service hit me so hard because my heart is for the lost of the Redlands. As your pastor, every person you come into contact with, every barista, every person that works behind the cash register at your local IGA, every person you come into contact with needs the revelation that Jesus loves you. And he loves you in your broken mess. I've shared this before. My experience of God's love was not in a moment that was like a nice wishy-washy. Oh, I'm in church and hands in the air. Oh, I feel the love of God. It was in my mess and brokenness when I felt the least lovable. I felt like trash. I felt like I was the furthest away I could possibly be from God. I was up at the Maroochydore Surf Club. I remember Alexandra Headland Surf Club, and I was in such turmoil, and I did what so many of us do when we're so desperate for God. We do Bible roulette. Speak to me, Lord. You're not the only one. And in God's kindness, I opened up to Mark 15, 21 to 24. I'm not putting it on the screen right now because I want you to go read it. I'm going to tell you again, write it down. Mark 15, 21 to 41. Right there, you will read the story of the crucifixion. The story as we lead up to Easter, the thing that is the most powerful love letter to us. That a loving father would send his only son, the most valuable thing he has, in exchange for us. That's how much God loves you. I remember reading that story in my worst, darkest headspace I think I'd ever been in up to that stage of my life. And hearing God's beautiful, kind voice say to me, Aaron, I love you. I've shared it before, but I knew it was God because he called me by my name, my real name, a name no one uses, and don't start using it. But I just knew. Oh, the beauty and the wonder and the power of knowing that God loves me. I want you to shut your eyes for a moment. I want you to hear him say it to you. He loves you. I remember the wave of his love pouring over me in my broken state. And he was saying, I love you. I just love you so much. And today I want you to hear him saying it to you as well. He loves you. In your mess, he meets you in your mess. He doesn't wait for you to clean up your life. He meets you right where you're at. And right now, God wants to say he loves you. Nico, he loves you. Nico, he loves you. Hear his voice. Rowan, he just loves you so much. He loves you. Tiana, he loves you. He loves you, he loves you, Cleo, he loves you. He just loves you. Joey, he loves you. Man, his love has been poured out and it's continued to be poured out and it will continue to be poured out. Even if you don't want to accept the truth that he does, but he does, he loves you. Casey, he loves you, man. Allow the wave of his love to hit you. In that moment, I felt a full revelation of Romans 5:5-8. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' love is an upside down love. We can't earn it. He loves us before we can even do anything in return. He pours out his love in our mess. He wants to clean us up. He loves you. Now, one of my favorite passages of scripture in the whole Bible is a story when another woman is found in a mess. She has got herself into a mess. John 8, 1 to 11, it says this. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, talking about Jesus, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. It's one of the most powerful stories in the Bible. Because here's Jesus. He's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he knows the law, he knows what's right and what's wrong, and he knows what is actually due to those who are caught in this style of sin. In fact, he knows in Leviticus 20:10, their law, it says this: if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Really fascinating, we don't see the guy here. But Jesus' heart isn't just to respond with the law. He's like, hang on, what's my mission? That none should be lost. That there's a restorative way with God. That God's heart is love. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Understand this. Jesus says to him, this woman, he says, "Hey, is anyone here to condemn you?" She says, "No, well, I don't condemn you either." And it's interesting, if Jesus left it at that moment in the story, if Jesus went, "Okay, well, have a great day. Love ya." We'd go, wow, okay, that's what Jesus is like. But you've got to understand that Jesus, in his wisdom and his discernment, he doesn't finish there. He doesn't leave her with a, "Hey, you got away with it. Love ya." His next line is, he says this to this woman after she's just escaped the skin of her teeth from death. He says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus doesn't leave her in her sin and says, "Hey, it's fine. You got away with it. I just love you." He goes, "I love you so much, and that almost killed you. And you were deserving of death today. You need to go leave your life of sin. It's going to kill you." And that's what it looks like when we love always. We want to be a church that says, "Hey, you come as you are. God will forgive you and he will give you a fresh start. But don't go back to your sin. Don't go back to your mess. It will kill you. Your sin will kill you. It will separate you from what? The love of God for all of eternity." It says it very clearly in the scriptures. What benefit do you reap at this time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Romans 6:21. Those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin, the week of your sin, when you go get your paycheck, the wages you're going to get for the sin and the brokenness in your life is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the truth and the good news that we hold. And we want to be people who love people to that truth. What I actually love about this story is that we don't know if this woman went, "Okay, Jesus," and ran straight back to the bed of the man she was having an affair with. We don't know. And you know what? Jesus allows her to have a free choice to do what she wants. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is if a week later in the story, they dragged her before Jesus again, we caught her in adultery again, Jesus. You know what Jesus' response would have been? It wouldn't have been, "Told you so, I'm picking up a stone." It would have been exactly the same response. "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." That's the power of the love of God. He leaves it up to us and how we respond to that love. Leave your life of sin. Turn your life around. There was an urgency when Jesus came, and there is an urgency, and I feel this urgency for the Redlands right now. You've got to understand something. When Jesus came the first time, just over 2,000 years ago, he came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Like, he's like, you need to turn your life around. You need to repent. You need to say sorry for the sin, your brokenness. You're a mess. I've made a way to heaven. Turn your life. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Through me, you're going to have eternal life, a life connected with God the Father that is love himself. This is your eternity, to be in his presence, in his love for eternity. It's a free gift. And when he came, he said, I'm not here to condemn the world, but to save the world. But here's the deal. I think sometimes we forget, church, he's coming back. And there will be a time where those mercies are no more. He will come back as a righteous judge. There is a window of time. And in this time, we all have the freedom to go and say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you or not. But there will be a time where that runs out. And I feel so strongly an urgency in my heart that we should not take that for granted. Because when judgment day comes, Jesus will separate those from the left and right. He'll either know you or not. And there will be an eternity either separated from love or being in love itself for all time. And it's a free gift. And you know that truth. And our responsibility is to love always and share the good news of Jesus as a church. I'm going to say it again today. God loves you. He loves you so much. The reality is our world doesn't know that though. I am being convicted as your pastor every day of the people in our community who do not know the love of Jesus. I shared briefly about this a few months ago. Stories that rattle me because I know that I could do better and go, God, help me share your love. I want to love like you, Jesus. I was down at the Schnitty house in Capalaba picking up a takeaway Schnitty for Beck. It's a good husband. Because I love her. And I started talking to the waitress there, and we started talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Hey, what are you doing? Are you studying at uni? Blah, 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 blah. And so we're having this chat, and I just felt to say to this girl, hey, you know, God loves you. Hey. I said, God loves you. And she goes, how do you know that? And I thought, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a good question. And I said, yeah, you know about Jesus? Oh, yeah, kind of. He's born at Christmas, I think, you know, like just this sort of... But she knew nothing about Jesus. And I was trying to explain, I said, hey, Jesus loves you so much and he has a purpose for your life. He knows you. You're not here by accident. And she was like, really? Like, it was almost like so like overwhelming that she didn't know. Like, and it hit me. It's like, you understand this, church? Anyone under the age of 20 today, we're in a post-Christian world. They've never heard the bumper sticker, Jesus loves you. Maybe we need to get some made up again. Get some shirts. But I'm like, they don't know. And they're lost. And they're hurting. They're in a dark space. They've never been exposed to the light of Jesus. They don't know the hope of the world. They don't know that the weight of the world doesn't need to be on their shoulders. Jesus took it on his. It was such a weird night because I'm trying to get into this. Like, bit like you, Bella, I'm like, I'm the pastor. I should be able to figure this out. And I'm trying to explain the love of God. Then the schnitty comes out. And I'm like, oh, see ya. You know, like it was just... And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be like that again. Wouldn't it be great if we were a church ready for those moments and we were on mission every day to maybe have the boldness and brave heart that says, Jesus loves you. Not to be overcome by fear of what they say, but perfect love in your own heart because you've experienced Christ's love. You just pour it out. You don't care what they say. In fact, you just want them to reach and meet Jesus. You want to invite them to church because you know what Jesus did for you. I love that Bella brought it up. She goes, think about what was it like before you had Jesus. You know how he transformed your life. He can transform every person in the Redlands just like you. And God is calling each and every one of us to be a beacon in this community and asking us, will we love always? Will we ask the question, God, how can I be more like you today, Jesus? How can I love like you today, Jesus? Show me. Let's pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.